Welcome in. Charlotte Soccer Show. John Hayes here. Danny Brams will be back from his trip to Mexico this weekend for our pregame tailgate at Hot Fly Brewing Company, of course, presented by Hot Fly Brewing Company, as always, on Charlotte Soccer Show. It's going to be a very, very special edition of the show. As you know, we've been rolling through the MLS season pass talent lineup. We've been talking to people coming into town to call Charlotte FC and calling road games as well. It's been a really, really fun 7-8 week stretch here on the show. And the ride does not stop here. Today, we probably have our most special guest of the season for many reasons. We'll get into that in just a few seconds, but let's introduce him by going back into the vault. Danny Brams does this. He does a fantastic job of this. So I went back and found one of our next guest's best goals of his career. This one is an absolute banger.
Free kick from Higginbottom. It's a terrific strike. Absolutely smashes it into the back of the Newcastle net.
He's Danny Higginbottom. He's here. And Danny, welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. I picked that highlight out because I was trying to figure out how fast that ball was moving into the back of the net. An absolute howitzer. Welcome to Charlotte Soccer Show. And an absolute banger of a free kick that was for Stoke City.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. It's one of those ones, it's like where you go up to strike a ball and you hit it so well, you don't even feel it leaving your boot. And, you know, it was a really good time at that moment at Stoke. We were doing really well in the Premier League. The fans, everybody was going in the same direction. It was really good times. Got to the FA Cup final that year as well. So, yeah, it brings back good memories a few years ago now, but it's always nice to see something like that every now and then.
Fantastic. And you've already brought something up that I was going to ask you about on the back end of the show. It's an FA Cup weekend at Wembley. The semifinals are happening. I know you have experience playing in that competition. All of our fans here at Charlotte Soccer Show, a lot of them are Premier League fans as well. They see you with NBC Sports in studio as well. So we'll talk maybe a little bit of Premier League, but we're here to talk Charlotte FC. You're on the call this weekend, MLS season pass on Apple TV. You've got double duty this weekend. You've got Atlanta, Cincinnati on Saturday and Charlotte, Minnesota on Sunday. What's it like preparing for a doubleheader over the weekend?
You just try and start early. You know, it's from my side of things, you always try and speak to, you know, a few people that will cover the teams. And when you've done teams before, it makes life a lot easier because you've built relationships with people. So you do it, but you tend to, obviously, instead of just preparing for the one game, you're doing the two. So you start a little bit earlier, just, you know, get your framework done, watch their previous game, speak to people, and then you just get ready for it. But then always I've found, because I think it's the second time we've done it this season, we did it on the opening weekend as well, we've found that it's not been an issue. It's been great. There's always something to talk about with MLS, as in terms of the teams, how they're doing, the identity of the teams, the style. So there's always something to look forward to, and this weekend is no exception.
Absolutely. And the Eastern Conference is a conference that people looked at on paper coming into the season as maybe the stronger of the two conferences in MLS. And I feel like that's kind of played out to start the year when you kind of look at the East and you think about how good this league is and Charlotte's place in a playoff position right now. When you see those standings, right, and you're prepping for this match, Charlotte FC against Minnesota Sunday at 6 o'clock. A nice Sunday fun day, by the way, for us Charlotte FC fans. It should be pretty lit at Bank of America Stadium at the Fortress on Sunday. When you see Charlotte and their table positioning right now, do you think that they fit in based on what you've seen on tape so far this season?
Yes, I do, because obviously I covered Charlotte a few times last season, and when it was good, it worked really well. I was there for the LAFC game, which they won 2-1. I was there for the Nashville game, which I think they lost 2-1. So, you know, that worked really, really well. Is it possible to pause this 1 minute?
Yes, absolutely.
Just my son's knocked on the door and I didn't answer. I'm really sorry. I'll be one minute.
No problem at all. I'll tee you up with that question. I can edit this on the back end. No problem.
Please, great. Thank you.
All good. Yeah. So I'm just going to say, do you think Charlotte fits into that picture?
Yes.
you're looking at the standings, you're prepping for this match, and the Eastern Conference, it's super strong. It's really impressive. And Charlotte FC finds itself in a decent position on the table now, 7-8 weeks into the season. Do you think they fit into that picture?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a few things, really. I covered the team a few times last season, in particular at home, when they beat LAFC 2-1, which was one of their better performances of the season, I thought. Then when they got beat at home 2-1 as well, I think, by Nashville. And you could see the style, what they were trying to play, but at times it could have been a little bit complicated for the players. You know, the man for man, they're playing this high line and, you know, getting caught out a few times. But I look at the players that they've got. I look at Dean Smith, who's coming now, who obviously know from England and the teams that he's managed. Such a good guy, great man manager. And I think what he's done simplified things, really. And, you know, it's a case of now defenders not having to necessarily go into midfield, not necessarily having to go man for man all over the place, but just having this structure now. And then, you know, when you have that structure and when you play to the players' strengths, that can lead to success. So I think it's been a really good start from Dean Smith. I think obviously the players have 100% bought into what he's trying to do, and they're creating a lot of opportunities as well. And I think that's something that's vital as well.
You mentioned your familiarity with Dean Smith because of his time in England. Of course, Ashley Westwood as well.
Yes.
The captain for Charlotte FC. I think the 1-2 punch of those two experienced, both coach and player, really helps this team just from a leadership point of view, right? I mean, there's a lot of young players in MLS, a lot of players who don't have a lot of high-level experience. What's it mean to have two guys like that in this locker room kind of leading the charge?
It's massive. I think when you look at someone like Ashley Westwood, because I know him myself from obviously being over in England, he's a leader. He leads on the pitch, he leads off the pitch, leads by example. And I think that's a big thing. He's embraced the area. He loves it. And that always helps. And I think the biggest thing when you have an experienced player and there is young players around him is that the younger players are always looking for guidance. And if you've got a leader, you know, if you've got a captain like obviously Ash Westwood, then it's easy to follow in his footsteps, as in terms of, you know, as a captain, yes, he's out there, he's organizing, he's leading, but he's leading by example. So it's easy then for the younger players to go, okay, I'm going to follow his example. I'm going to follow his lead. And the fact that he plays in the central midfield position as well obviously helps, because he can see both sides of the pitch. And then, excuse me, you add Dean Smith into that, the success that he's had, whether it be in the Premier League with Aston Villa, getting Aston Villa promoted to the Premier League, what he did at Brentford as well. He was a key reason that this team is not necessarily being successful now, but he laid the foundations, the way that the club was run behind the scenes. Then obviously he spent time at Leicester City and Norwich City as well. So I think with Dean Smith, what you see will what you get. He's very, very honest. I think he brings confidence to players. The players will know what to expect under him. And as a player, you can't ask anything more than that. And I think you can always already see that being translated onto the field, onto the pitch, as an identity very, very quickly about this team, about how they want to play and defending higher up the pitch, if that makes sense, and creating less opportunities for mistakes, I think is absolutely massive as well.
We've seen improvement on the pitch. You're talking about that. But just from my perspective, right off the pitch, it's been a really nice improvement as well, because Miguel Angel Ramirez, the first manager for this club, did not have a great relationship as far as with the local media, with the fan base. Some comments that he made earlier in his career that really sabotaged his time here. Christian Latanzio as well. It was not necessarily polished behind the microphone, if you will. Dean Smith, you can tell he's been there. He's done that. He's faced the English press. He knows how to really take a press conference and do so well and connect with the community and the fan base. So that's absolutely been huge. So we've talked about the defense, right? I think you're right. It's pragmatic. It's really nice to see the midfield. And now it's when the difficult conversation really kicks off here. Is the front three, the forward situation for this club. Leal Abada, obviously a huge addition. So before I ask you a tough one about the striker position, let's start there. Leal Abada, he gets his first goal for Charlotte FC at home this past weekend. What does he do for this club on that right wing?
I think it's the fact that – I think it's the way that the team is set up, because I think whoever's playing in the fullback position is going to get forward. So I think it's sort of you want it to work both ways. You want a winger that's happy to drift inside, who's going to create space for the winger, create 2-1. And I think that's a big thing. And when you look at – Abada, he to me is a player that is very, very comfortable, whether it be drifting inside, whether it be staying a little bit wider himself. There's not much to him whatsoever. But I think off the mark, he's going to leave defenders behind. You can see his confidence, what he's got, the way it flows through him, gets himself into good positions. And I think when you play within a front four, obviously when it's a 4-2-3-1, which obviously with Charlotte a lot of the time it is, you need to have players that can interchange. You need to have an Abada that can say, okay, you know what? I can drift into that 10 position. You have Arfield potentially could then go over to the right. But also what I think you've got with Abada is a player that enables Vargas to go over to the left-hand side where I think is his best position. So it's sort of helped out in a few different ways. Not only is Abada a player that comes into this team and makes the team better, but it also enables one of the team's better players to go and play in their original position as well. So I think that helps. And like I say, when you've got the fullbacks going forward, you've got two defensive midfielders that to a certain extent can sit. That enables both the fullbacks then to go forward into the space that's been created by the wingers. So all of a sudden, instead of an attacking front four, at times you're going to see an attacking front six, and it's very, very difficult to defend against that then.
Yeah, it was a big moment. You talk about the fullback. It was Jalen Lindsay who late in the match got on the ball, kicked it back into the final third there, leading to that game-winning goal from Patrick Aujamon. Whether it's Nathan Byrne at that right fullback position, whether it's Jalen Lindsay, I think Charlotte has two pretty good options at that position.
Yes. Yeah, they do. And I think the key thing is when you're playing with wingers that don't necessarily want to stay really wide, you need to get the width from your fullbacks. Also, otherwise, you become a very predictable team. You become a team that's like, okay, we can defend narrow against you because we know there's no threat in those wider areas. So when, like you say, when you've got Byrne, when you've got Lindsay, and then you look at Urinen as well, who is obviously he'll get forward as well, but he seems to time his runs forward more and will just go at the right time. And you need that, especially the way that the way the game is played now. So many times you see wingers, more often than not, wingers now are inverted. Your old school wingers have disappeared who wanted to stay really wide. So your width comes from the fullbacks, and the fullbacks become a very, very important piece of a team.
Absolutely. And Yuri Urinen, the Finnish international, going up against some other Finnish internationals across the field this Sunday. Timo Pukki comes in for Minnesota United. But before we get into that conversation, let's talk about the tip of the spear at the top of Charlotte FC's attack. Enzo Capetti and Patrick Aujamon. We've had this conversation, Danny, on the show over and over over. And at this point, I think I want to boil it down to what we saw last Saturday and how that it applies to Sunday in this match specifically. If you put yourself in Dean Smith's shoes, I think you could answer the question that way. In your shoes as well, what would you do? I'm curious of your thoughts on both of those things. Is that if Patrick Aujamon comes on late, he scores a game-winning goal, does that mean he gets injected into the lineup as the starting nine? Or does Dean Smith say, you know what, I really like him off the bench, and maybe he's a player that I can count on as a super sub?
Yeah, listen, I'm no manager. There's a reason that I'm not a manager. You know, there's managers that have got the unbelievable reputations that make the right decisions. But from the outside looking in, I think with Aujamon, I look at it that way. He's a player that if you have, because the way I look at Charlotte at the moment, they're happy to play out from the back at times, but a lot of the times they're happy to say, no, we'll make this a second ball game. And as a defender for the opposition, you're going to come off that pitch and you are going to know that you've been in a game. So all of a sudden, if you have a player like Aujamon who can come on with 15, 20 minutes left against a very tired defense, then that's something that you could be looking at. And I think you also have to take into account Capetti as well. You know, from a centre forward side of things, it's the biggest position on the pitch where confidence is at its most. You know, it's for a centre forward, you go and score that goal, you score a couple of goals, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, every time you're going to get into a position, you think you're going to put the ball into the back of the net. Capetti's yet to get going, but I think Dean Smith will be looking and thinking, right, if he can just get that one goal. Yes, he got the assist last weekend against Toronto. You go back all the way to the first game of the season. Did he give the penalty up to Vargas so Vargas could take it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that I found interesting as well. But I think from Dean Smith's side of things, he looks at it, he'll look at it one of two ways. It's Aujamon and it's like, okay, can he do from the start what he has been doing when he's been coming off the bench? If I do that, how does that affect Capetti? Capetti is a player that will put himself about, does need a goal, but does it do more harm than good to take him out of the team when you may look at this Minnesota game and think to yourself, you know, this could be the game where he really gets going. So it's a difficult decision because it's two very different forwards. But if you have one that's having this impact off the bench, then if you need that impact off the bench after 65, 70 minutes and the man that's usually there isn't there because he started the game, what are you turning to or what are you looking to? So I think it's an interesting debate, but I think from my side of things, you look at it and you think, right, well, you know, Adjemine's coming off the bench and having a huge say in this game. So let's keep it at it as it is for now. But how long does that carry on for? I think that's going to be the question going forward if Capetti isn't able to get his scoring boots going.
It's great analysis. And it's I think, honestly, you could, and I'm interested in this, is seeing them both be on the field at the same time. Not for the full 90 minutes, right? But if you're down a goal, if you're feeling like you can get 3 points on Sunday night, it's a tie game with 20 minutes left. It doesn't mean you have to take Capetti off for Adjemine. You can maybe figure out a way to get them both on the pitch at the same time. And all of a sudden, that could maybe unlock Capetti and help him get his first goal of the season.
Yeah, I think that it could. And I think the fact that it's something that's good, because you're talking about options that you've got. And, you know, at certain times when you have conversations with people, when you're covering a certain game, whatever league it may be in, it's like, yeah, but what's the alternative? We don't have this player that can come off the bench. We don't have this player that can do that. But all of a sudden, you're looking at this Charlotte team and you're thinking to yourself, you have options. If plan A isn't working, okay, well, potentially there is a plan B. And I think the way that Charlotte go about things, in particular at home, they fancy their chances against anybody. And quite rightly so as well. I've been there, like I say, I think maybe I've been there 3 times now. I love it. The atmosphere, to say that it's a very new team, it's a very new club, the way that the fans have embraced it, it's absolutely phenomenal. And as a player, you're looking, you're thinking to yourself, wow, imagine walking out there. And that's our home support. It's brilliant. And, you know, the sky can be the limit.
It's turned Charlotte into a soccer city. We say that on the show. Charlotte is a soccer city, and it's become that. It's the culture of the game kind of fits really well into this community. It's been a big transplant community for the last 10 to 15 years. So a lot of people who have moved here were kind of looking to latch on to something and be a part of something. And Charlotte FC is exactly that. And by the way, it's a fantastic match day experience. The club has done a tremendous, tremendous job. So we've heard your analysis on NBC as well about the Premier League. So I've got you for a couple minutes here. You've got such a global eye on the game. I saw you watching the Champions League games earlier this week as well. It's just a fantastic time for football. I mean, this month is absolutely insane. Like, how are you managing your schedule? How are you getting eyes on all these games?
It's unbelievable. It's like, you don't get me wrong, it's like people say, oh, you must watch football 24/7. It's nice to have a little bit of a break every now and then. But you find that you find yourself watching games even at times because maybe it might be something that you may need to use in a show coming up, you know, whether it be with NBC, with the Premier League, whether it be with MLS, whether it be, you know, Sirius on the radio, whatever it may be. But the amount of football that you can watch over here is unbelievable. Like in England, you can watch every single Premier League game live in America. You can't do that in England. You know, they have like the blackout time where you can't watch a game in England that's kicking off at 3 o'clock. Now, one of the main reasons is for that, and it's something that's been in place for a long time, is that people look at it and go, well, because you have the pyramid in England, so you've obviously got the Premier League, the Championship, League One, League Two, then you have Conference, Conference North, Conference South, it goes even further down than that. One of the key reasons why they don't want live Premier League games at 3 p.m. in England to be on the TV is because they believe that will affect the lower teams, the lower leagues, in their attendances. So, you know, that's one of the reasons. But over here, like, a Saturday for me is unbelievable. You get up, you're watching a Premier League game at 7:30, then you've got the 10 o'clock. Then you've got the 12:30. Then there's likely to be an MLS game starting if it's not your game. And then you've got a game in the evening. And it's just unbelievable. You're getting up in the morning, 7:30 in the morning, you're having a coffee and breakfast whilst watching the Premier League. And then it just goes from there. And then when September comes and then it's NFL, then, okay, on a Sunday, if you've not got a game, you've got Red Zone. So it's just, I love it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's great.
You've been enjoying your time stateside and your time in the great state of Pennsylvania there. I see you rocking the Eagles hat today. You're amazing.
Yeah.
After my own heart, I'm born and raised in Philadelphia, moved down here to Charlotte about 10 years ago. I moved out of the city, though, before the Philadelphia Union launched the club, so I never got to spend any time with the Union. I know you did as the voice of the Union.
Yeah.
What an absolute great job Jim Curtin has done with the Philadelphia Union. Just fantastic.
It's absolutely brilliant to see what he's done, the way that the younger players are coming through as well. And I think that's, you know, they've created a reputation for themselves. You know, the younger players that are coming through into the first team, then moving on to Europe, having success in Europe. And I think they're a club that I think many clubs will look at and think this is the way to do things. And they always find good players, you know, and they're not one of the big spenders. And I think one of the things that I've always found, and I take it back to when I was playing, is that if you can get your team to mirror the area, then the fans will love you. So, for example, I don't know what is it, they call it blue collar over here. So, for example, in England, we call it working class. And it's dependent on where your team is. So I go back to my time at Stoke City. Tony Pulis was the manager at the time, and he knew what the fans stood for. He knew that the fans, Monday to Friday, worked really, really hard. And then on a Saturday, they give their hard-earned money to come and watch their team. Now, that set of supporters who were great created an unbelievable atmosphere at the stadium. If you got beat 3-0, if you got beat 4-0, it wasn't a huge issue if they saw that every single player had given everything they've got. But if you got beat 3-0 or 4-0 or 1-0 and there were players walking off the pitch that hadn't given everything, you wouldn't be forgiven for that. And Philadelphia, as you know, Philadelphia is very, very similar to that. They will deal with people that give everything that they've got, but they won't suffer fools. And I think from that side of things, it's like when you look at Philly as a city, when you look at Philadelphia Union, obviously part of that as well, that's what it comes down to. And fans will put up with a lot of things. But if you don't have that work ethic, then you're not going to be successful at a club like Philadelphia Union. And that's where Jim Curtin comes from. It's important to be a good player, but it's just as important to have this work ethic, to have this togetherness, to have this strong dressing room. And that's what he's created. And he deserves all the credit he gets. He deserves the reputation that he's got. You know, they're a great club, and like I say, I think a lot of clubs look at them as a good example of how to run things.
Tommy Wilson, somebody who did a great job
in
Philadelphia, has now moved down here to Charlotte, is working as a technical director here in Charlotte. And he's somebody that might be kind of a diamond in the rough as far as getting this club off the ground, building its academy. And when you're only 2.5, 3 years old, there's a lot of room to grow, and you need people who have been there and done that before. And I see Tommy as a guy that could really help this club.
Yeah, I agree. When I first moved over here, one of the first things that I had to do was, for like the show that we were doing, was interview Jim Curtin, interview assistant managers, interview people to do with the academy, and Tommy Wilson was one of them. Was one of the guys that we had to interview, and obviously he's Scottish, so we got on straight away. You know, Manchester person, a Scottish person. It's like, yeah, well, you know, we'll get on. And I was amazed. I would say naive rather than ignorant. Yeah, I would say that I was naive rather than ignorant, because when I came over to interview him, I didn't realize how professional and how good the setup was of the academies over here. I understand now, but this is when I'd moved over probably 2 months previous. And then he showed me what the club was doing, how they were doing things and bringing players in and stuff like that. And I was like, this is incredible. It was so similar to what the top English clubs are doing. So like you say, with Tommy, the expertise that he has, the experience that he has, to be able to bring him into a club like Charlotte, it's like, great. It's really, really good. And it's a loss for Philadelphia Union, because I think what we're starting to see now within MLS is young players coming through, young players being given opportunities. And if you want to be a club that does that, then you look at clubs like Philadelphia Union that have done that. You know, you've got the Aronson brothers, you've got McKenzie, you've now got Harriels come through, you've got Sullivan, you've got McGlynn. You know, the list ends up being endless. And when you bring two players through, maybe it's a coincidence. When you start to bring five, six, seven, it's no longer a coincidence. You're doing something right. So, you know, the experience that Tommy has, you know, I think it's priceless, because he can help in what you've already said anyway, Charlotte, which could be a great footballing area.
He's Danny Higginbottom. Thanks so much here for joining Charlotte Soccer Show. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show here for a half an hour. You do great work. You've got eyes on football globally. You got eyes on Charlotte FC this Sunday against Minnesota United. I hope you enjoy the match. I hope it's a fun watch. They're calling for a little bit of rain right now. Hopefully that comes out. Either way, I think it'll be a fun night at the Fortress, rain or not. If it's, you know, it's one of those things where if it does rain a little bit, that's when the diehards are in there. That's when that's when people are having a really nice time on a Sunday night. So next time you're in Charlotte, we got to get you by Hot Fly Brewing Company. We got to have a pint or two.
Sounds good to me.
If your flight gets delayed, if somehow you can't get out on Sunday night, just let us know and we'll bring you over to Hot Fly post match and we'll have
perfect. A couple pints. Sounds good to me, John. Thank you.
Cheers, Danny. Thanks so much here for joining the show. See you soon.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Take care. He's Danny Higginbottom. He's our special guest on Charlotte Soccer Show leading into this match weekend here in Charlotte. We'll be back for a pregame show on Sunday. We'll be live at Hot Fly Brewing Company. We'll be live probably around 4:30 Eastern time. We'll be live on our YouTube page with that 6 o'clock kick. Usually we go live at 5 o'clock Eastern for 7:30. So we'll bump that up a little bit to about 4:30 on Sunday, prepping for this home match. And then we'll be back at Hot Fly with our recap show on Monday evening this week. John Hayes, Danny Brams will be back on Sunday with me. And until next time, support the Crown, baby.